It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In this series of studies, we've been talking about the church. Now we've talked about God's church, and we've talked about those churches that used to be God's church, and they either quit being a church, period, or they've turned themselves into something that is not scriptural. Well, I've entitled the lessons that we're going through right now concerning the church, the purpose-driven or purposely deceived church. And if you were with me last time, you heard me speaking about someone who is very popular in church circles today, and you may or may not have heard of him. That's Rick Warren. He said this, "The word fundamentalist actually comes from a document in the 1920s called the Five Fundamentals of the Faith, and it is a very legalistic, narrow view of Christianity." Well, the last time we were together, I talked about what were the fundamentals he was referring to. Well, the first fundamental that he was referring to is the Bible. The Bible is inerrant. It is the Word of God. It has full authority. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For the prophecy," and that Scripture, "came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." If the Bible is not important, why did the Scripture say that it's by the foolishness of preaching, by the foolishness, in other words, of the Word of God? Now, God is not calling His Word foolish. He's saying that man will view it as foolish. Evidently, Rick Warren is saying that the Bible is unimportant, that there is no need of it anymore. It's legalistic, he says. He's pointing that out. And then he's also said that the five fundamentals, and he talks about that, and the second fundamental, of course, is Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus was virgin born. He had no earthly father. He was adopted by Joseph. We know that, but the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, overshadowed Mary and came upon her according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. It says there, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Well, I believe that's important. I don't know about you, but I believe that that is very important. Then we see that there are divine names involved in the name of Jesus, names that can only be given to God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And once again, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So, a virgin would give birth to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is divine. He is God, according to the second fundamental that I've listed here, Jesus Christ, who evidently Rick Warren says is unimportant. Now, the third fundamental is the resurrection. Jesus was resurrected according to the Word of God. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." Well, first, I mean, there's so many verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, it says this, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And then we read in verse 17, it says this, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." Well, God doesn't stop there. In verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, God says this through the Holy Scriptures, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Well, I don't know about you, but I believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ is very important. It's a very important fundamental for fundamental Christians who believe the Bible, who believe in Jesus Christ, who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and who believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 43, it talks about that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, it says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, the Bible says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." This is Jesus speaking. Remember, Jesus is everlasting. He's God. And this is a description, or we'll say a prophecy, of what would take place in Jesus' life, his death. It says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Well, this is speaking of Jesus Christ, about Jesus. And we see that the third fundamental that Rick Warren says is not important is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, that's one of the five fundamentals that he says is legalistic and unimportant. Then we see the fourth fundamental that, according to Rick Warren, is unimportant, and that is the payment for sin, Christ's atonement. That's payment. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "And he is the propitiation, and that means the satisfaction." It goes on to say, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Well, once again, that propitiation, it means payment for our sins. And then, of course, that familiar verse that people know, a lot of unsafe people even know this verse, but they don't pay attention to it. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Evidently, Rick Warren doesn't think that's important, because that's one of the five fundamentals that he says is unimportant. Isaiah 53, reading from verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That means healed from sin. Verse 6 goes on to say in Isaiah 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," and that's Jesus, "the iniquity," that's the sin, "of us all." Well, Rick Warren says that's not important, evidently. He says that that's legalistic. And we see also that Christ's vicarious, that means for somebody else, he had a death. He had to be put to death. He died. Christ's vicarious death, according to Rick Warren, evidently, is not important. Well, Galatians chapter 1, and we'll look at this. In verse 4, it says, "Who gave himself for our sins," that's Jesus, "that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Unimportant? I think not. People need to be saved. they need to know that Jesus came into this world to live and die and resurrect from the dead for every person in this world who would call upon him and ask him to save them. It's a free gift, eternal life. Fundamental number five that evidently Rick Warren sees as unimportant is the second coming of Jesus. And it's going to be literal. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And we read in the Old Testament, in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4, it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." That's Jesus. It goes on to say, "Which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." Guess what? The Mount of Olives is where Christ ascended back to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. He's going to stand again on the Mount of Olives when he comes again, literally, according to the Word of God. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Well, not only is Christ coming back the second time, we're coming back with him, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 14. It says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Are we to believe that Christians who hold to these basic, fundamental, foundational doctrines of the Christian faith are narrow-minded and legalistic? On the contrary, the Bible teaches that we are to stand up and proclaim the five foundational doctrines that I've just mentioned and that we've gone over. Those five foundational doctrines of the Word of God, first of all, is the Bible. Secondly, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ himself. And third, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Fourth, we look at this and we see the payment for sin. And fifth, the second coming of Jesus Christ, literally. Dr. Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life, has stated this: "When you reveal the vision of the purpose-driven church to the church," this is Rick Warren speaking, "the old pillars are going to leave, but let them leave. They only hold up things." Well, this is Dr. Warren who said that, he's right. The old pillars hold the local church up. These are the members who stand on the Word of God. Those people who have been in the local church for years stood for God. Well, do you know him today? Do you know him as your Savior? The most important thing, and we've gone over these things now, and the Bible tells me I am to be one who warns people of these things as a preacher of the gospel. But my prime goal and my prime interest is whether you've been born again or not. You need to trust him. You need to say, "Lord, I know I can't save myself. I'm a sinner. Lord, I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn to you. I want to really know you as my Savior. Please come into my heart and save me. I'm sorry for my sin. Please save me so one day I'll see you personally and I can thank you personally for saving my soul."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.